changing experience. Are you ready to renew your mind?
Welcome to A Life-Changing Experience with Overseer Dorothy McGuire, the pastor of Life-Changing Church Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This broadcast is designed to renew minds and change lives through the Word of God. So let us join Overseer McGuire as she delivers us a transforming message.
Are you ready for a life-changing experience? Are you ready to renew your mind?
Get your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Judges. And starting at the 7th chapter, beginning at the 2nd verse, down through the 4th verse. I gave Elder a few other verses, but the Lord told me this. So we're going with what he said.
Amen.
Amen. Elder Harrison, would you please read those?
Judges chapter 7, verses 2 through 4. And it reads from the New King James. "And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you. The same shall go with you, and of whomever I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go down to the water. So I brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said, Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. He told me through 4, and I went through 5.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Certainly today, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, I want to talk to you from the subject, when too little is plenty. When too little is plenty. Father, we bless you this morning, and we thank you for this opportunity to stand before you again. We thank you for what you've already done in this place. We thank you for every praise that have gone up. We thank you, God, for every worship experience. Now, Father, we ask that you would bless this word this morning. Let the hearers hear it. Let them receive it and be doers of this word. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. We appreciate you. Everything that you do, God, we appreciate it. And we love you. We thank you. We give you glory. In your wonderful, matchless name, we pray. Let God's people shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in God's presence. When too little is plenty. We've all felt doomed and forsaken and felt like giving in or out at times. We felt like our dreams, we were unable to obtain them because we didn't have enough money. We didn't have enough people. We didn't have enough time to accomplish the task. We actually doubt ourselves and completely forget about God. We forget that we ever read the scriptures in Philippians that say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And why do I feel so defeated at times? Anybody ever feel defeated at times? Seems like no matter what you do, when you look up, here comes something else. Well, I think it could be because many times we forget one important part in that scripture, And that is the part that says, through Christ. We try to do the things on our own, but that is not where it stopped. It said, I can do all things, and then it continues with, through Christ, who strengthens me. And although we may frown upon small beginnings at times, we have been known for those small beginnings to turn into something spectacular and beautiful. One where you can look and see a brand new baby. The little baby is born and he's cute and little. But eventually he grows up and becomes something beautiful and spectacular at times. Well, the Bible reminds us not to despise small beginnings. In Zechariah, the 4th chapter and the 10th verse, it says, for who has despised the day of small things? But the Message Bible, and I love the Message Bible, it says, does anyone dare despise this day of small beginnings? So now in this passage, many of the older Jews, they were disheartened when they realized this new temple would not match the size and the splendor of the previous temple that had been built during King Solomon's reign. And sometimes we can't grow and develop in our faith. And this happens so often because we are so busy. Tell somebody, so busy. Looking at others rather than focusing on what God is doing in our lives. That is why sometimes we don't grow and develop the way we should. Because God is trying to tell you what he wants for you to do for him. And we're so busy looking at what somebody else is doing, we want to work what he told them to do. Well, you can't work what God tells somebody else to do because that's not you. Bigger is not more beautiful. It's not always better. For instance, Goliath was bigger. But little David was the conqueror. Yes, he was. What do you do for God that may seem small and insignificant? Sometimes what you think is insignificant is a big deal for God. But God rejoices in what is right, not necessarily what is big. He doesn't always look at the big things. It's the small things. Look at the widow's mite. There were plenty of people paying big money, but all she had was a penny. And when she put it in, he was happy about the penny. Hallelujah. You got to be faithful in the small opportunity. Begin where you are and do what you can. Leave the results to God. Don't try to be like the Joneses. That's why so many of us get in trouble. Because the Joneses bought a Benz. We got to have a Benz, but we can't buy a Benz on $8 an hour. But we do it to try to keep up with the Joneses. And when we do that, what happens? We get in trouble. We get in trouble. So be careful when we get plenty. Not everybody should have plenty. Not everybody can handle plenty. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse, he warns us about our plenty. But that is the time you got to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, it says, you do not forget the Lord your God, and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. See, sometimes in our plenty, we often take credit for our prosperity and become proud that our own hard work did it. We become proud. Nobody did this but me. In your plenty. Well, you know, that might be the reason why we don't have nothing. Because those folk that ain't got nothing already, they're not doing anything with it. Then we push God out of the picture when he does give us something. When we get riches, we completely forget about God. When we get the income tax check, who thinks about coming and paying their tithes? Many of you do. But there's so many that do not. That income tax check has been stretched to the max. Everything's going to get done when the income tax check comes. But instead of giving God his first, you have something to spend later. But if you come to God's house and give it to him, I don't know about you, but I pay twice. I pay tithes when I get paid on my job and pay again when I get my income tax check. So I'm doubling my tithing. Don't get mad with me when I'm looking good. Because I've been paying my tithes. Don't get mad with me because I got gas in my car. Don't get mad with me because the rent ain't behind. Because I'm giving God his first. And if I take care of him, he'll take care of me. And until we can learn that you cannot afford not to tithe, I try to get that through people's head. You cannot afford not to tithe. You must tithe. I don't care if you got $20. You better come and put your $2 in an envelope. God knows what you made. He knows what you got. He knows you got those bills. But I declare to you, if you do it, God will make a way for you. I am a witness. I'm a witness. So we find ourselves putting God's work on the back burner. Things are happening right now for us that we don't even realize how it's happening. We make statements such as, we can't afford to send the kids to that private school. We say, I can't afford to buy groceries and pay the mortgage. And I can't afford to do all of that. But look at you. You are eating. The kids are going to school. And they're not raggedy when they go. You are paying the rent and the mortgage, but yet we are saying, I can't do this. But you serve a God that will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. We got to stop speaking those things. I can't. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Don't sit down on your little. Get up and start working and make it bigger. Hallelujah, God. Sometimes we have too much for God to show up. Huh? Sometimes you got too much. Sometimes you need to make it a little bit smaller. Because God wants us to rely on him. Listen, there are people who want you to rely on them. People, they want to keep you down to a place where you must come to them. But God, he doesn't think like that because he gave it to you anyway. Had it not been for him, you wouldn't have even had it. Glory to God. God is supplying your needs. He wants to make a way out of no way for his children. A little is a lot in the hands of God. When a little becomes enough, that is a time for you to praise God for his goodness. Instead of us complaining and whining, when we make it on that little, we ought to be giving him glory. We ought to be jumping and shouting and praising God. You don't have to wait till you get to life changing to do that. Baby, when God makes a way out of no way, you ought to start moving and grooving in the kitchen. You ought to do it in the car. You ought to do it on the job. When God makes a way, you ought to find a way to give him praise. I don't care how small it looks. But when God does it, oh, you better give him some glory when God does it. See, a little is a lot in the hands of God. A little is a lot in the hands of God. That's why everybody that gave in this offering this morning, you better hear me. God honored that. God honored you giving above. I don't care what you put in it. I don't care if you put a quarter in there. God honored that this morning. God honored that. When a little becomes enough, that's when you got to really, really, really give God what he deserves. Anybody in here ever been in a no-way situation? Anybody ever been in a situation where if God don't do it, it won't get done? I don't know if you've been in that situation, but I've been there. That if this don't happen through God, it won't get done. But that's where God wants us sometimes. Sometimes he wants us there, so he wants to be the strong shoulder for us. But if we got something, we won't let him be the strong shoulder. We get the big head and start thinking, I did this on my own. I got this by myself. That is why God said, I need to keep you humble. We want to depend on the things that we can see. We don't want to depend on those things that we don't see. But tell somebody, that's not faith. Hebrews 11 chapter, the first verse says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The New Living Testament says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. In other words, faith is acting on what God has revealed about his will and character. Faith. People have to grow with faith. But the first thing is we've got to know God. You've got to know if God said it, it must happen. That's why I don't lie on God. When folk want to tell you something, sometimes they say, I heard God say. And when it doesn't happen, it looks like God is a liar prophetess. But if God didn't say it, keep your mouth shut. But when God says it, I'm a witness, it must come through. It might not come through today or tomorrow, but it's got to come through. Tell somebody, it must come. We don't want to express our faith walk and stand on the promises of God through obedience, though. We want it, but we don't want to be obedient in order to get it. So Life Changing Church, we have some challenges that it's going to require our faith. But I declare to you, if we do not waver, Life Changing, do you hear me this morning? If we do not waver in our faith and put our little in the hands of the Lord, he'll multiply. Do you all hear me this morning? Don't you waver for what God is doing. We don't want to say that we believe God is going to do it. I believe God is going to do it. We don't want to keep saying that and don't believe it in our hearts. When we say God is going to do it, we got to know without a shadow of a doubt that God is doing it. James 1, 5 and 6 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraid it not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So when we ask God to increase our little, we must ask believing that he has already done it. Amen. I know we get concerned. I know sometimes that we worry about certain situations. Life changing, I'm no different than you. I am concerned about things that happen in my ministry. I'm concerned about my sheep. I love you. But let me tell you something. I don't listen to negativity. I don't listen to folk who say it won't work. I listen to the one that said, we got your back, Pastor. We're with you, Pastor. It's going to work out, Pastor. I'm going to do everything I can, Pastor. That's who I hang with. You better start hanging with folk that are positive. You better stop telling folk your business is done for you. You better be careful who you talk to. Don't you be telling folks something's getting ready to happen when they could be behind your back cursing. You can't tell everything to everybody. Sometimes you just have to sit back and say, okay, it's between me and you, God. It's between me and you, God. Sometimes you're about to burst open. You just want to tell somebody. You know how it is when you get pregnant. Oh, and it just start growing more and more. And every time it haven't come yet, it get bigger and bigger. But baby, you better hold on to your baby until it comes to full term. And I'm a witness that when that baby comes to full term, if God will tell you when to push. You ain't got to push on your own. He'll say, time to push. And when you push, out will come your little bundle of joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Familiar story, one of the greatest examples of a man's character. We see through this man, Gideon. Gideon was fearful. He had disbelief turn into belief. His limitations were put on the level with God's capabilities. He was a prime example of trusting in self, even though he loved and said he trusted God. So many of us are in that same category. We love the Lord, but we can only trust ourselves. I love God. I believe God. Oh, yes, I do believe everything that the Lord said. But if you don't see it, you stop. You stop trusting because you don't see it. That's why when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you've got this going on with you, we fall apart. But when you come back home, you ought to say, yeah, I heard him. Yeah, I heard what he said. Well, didn't you hear? Yes, I did hear what he said. But I ain't heard from God yet. I heard what man said. But I haven't heard what God said yet. So if I'm waiting, I'm going to be waiting for God to make his decision. Because, baby, let me tell you, there are people that have been living for 20, 30 years that should have been dead long time ago. But they didn't believe what man said. They trusted in what God said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This guy Gideon, God used him in spite of his limitations. Because God likes to use ordinary people. God does what he does when he feels the timing is right. Some of us get mad with God because he hasn't produced yet. But baby, if he produced it sometimes when we wanted it, it would mess up. He is not going to produce it until the time is right. So here Gideon, he was afraid to step out on the assignment that had been given to him. He was afraid. And you know what? I kind of understood him in the beginning. looking at his circumstances. He didn't have anything, and here God is saying to him, you all are getting ready to defeat one of the largest armies around. And he said, this has got to be a joke. You are telling me I'm the least. Stop looking at yourself as the least. Don't you know when the least sometimes is when the Lord can use you the most? The least. Stop looking at your circumstances. Here his people are being oppressed by the Midianites. The Midianites have imprisoned the Israelites. The Israelites, they brought it on themselves. Because we heard about that in Sunday school this morning. There they were, messing up every single time. Go back and say, forgive me. But guess what? They do it again. See, you got to be careful how you keep asking God to forgive you for something. And you keep on doing it. You got to be careful with that. And so what did they do? They brought this oppression on themselves. They strayed away from the teachings of God and began to worship false idols. So how many of you know that we sometimes suffer from the disobedience of others? We allow people to imprison us. They let issues imprison us. There are people you can hang around with, wherein you would be all right, but you allow them to imprison you. You allow them to talk nonsense in your ear. You know it's wrong, but you do it anyway because you're hanging out with the wrong folk. And disobedience causes problems. No doubt Gideon had prayed to God to change the situation. And his people were really going through it this time. But he was yet committed to God. God was committed also to Gideon. But tell somebody, Gideon had a trust issue. He did not trust God. He heard him. The angel came and spoke with him and announced to him that he was going to defeat the Midianites. But Gideon is thinking this has got to be crazy. Lord, our clan is the weakest of them all. Gideon didn't want to jump into something he couldn't handle. He was looking at the hundreds of thousands of men the Midianites had. But God was looking at all the power he had in one hand. But do you know God has already built you and imparted into your life the things you need for you to succeed and complete assignments? Do you not know that he has already given you what you need to complete it? You're trying to figure out how I'm going to take care of this. He's already figured it out. So Gideon kept on having doubt with God. How many of you do that? How many of us doubt him? He kept asking for signs, and God kept giving him signs. Don't you love it when you ask God for a sign, he give you one and you ignore it?
Kingdom greetings, saints. This is Overseer Dorothy McGuire, Senior Pastor of Life Changing Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I want to personally thank you for tuning into the broadcast every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. and online every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. on praise100.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you and you would like to purchase a copy of this sermon in its entirety, or seed into this radio ministry, please send your request and or donation to Life Changing Church Radio Ministry, 3208 Riley Avenue, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28269. And if you are new to the city and looking for a life-changing experience, we invite you to visit with us for our 9:30 Sunday school and our 11 a.m. worship service, and on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our dynamic Bible study. So until the next time, be blessed, and again, thank you for listening.